This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. And for those of you who have made yoga a part of your life, you have Swami Vivekananda to thank for that. He was a 19th century Hindu monk who brought yoga, along with the philosophy of Vedanta, to the West. And if you've never heard of him, now is your chance to learn. There's a laser documentary called Swamiji about his life. It's happening March 8th at 7 o'clock at Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh. And here to tell us about it is Pravrajika Brahmaprana. She's a Vedanta nun and an expert on Vivekananda. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Oh, thank you, Frank.
Also with us is Manik Sorkar, who is the artist who created the laser show. Manik, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Brahmaprana, tell us about Vivekananda. This is someone whose name might not be familiar to us, but who was an incredibly influential religious figure in the 19th century.
Yes, in fact, the Smithsonian Institute has recognized him as one of 29 eminent foreign visitors, and in his case, for changing the spirituality within the Western world. He brought the Yoga Vedanta to this country, and along with that, a non-proselytizing philosophy and methodology that connects with the four aspects of our psychophysical being. The four yogas are for the action portion, karma yoga, for the emotional portion, bhakti yoga, for the contemplative portion, raja yoga, and for the knowledge portion, jnana yoga. So it's a very synthesizing process of God realization.
And I guess most of us who know yoga know the physical part. We practice
exactly.
Yoga. Yeah.
Hatha yoga, but basically hatha yoga in our tradition is elemental for preserving and building the body so that we can ultimately transcend the body.
Let's talk more about this philosophy, Vedanta yoga, which is a spiritual philosophy. It is rooted in Hinduism.
It is what we call Vedanta, the Vedanta Hindu tradition. And Vedanta basically are two Sanskrit words merged, the Vedas, which are the oldest living scriptures of the world, and Anta, which means the end. And so it's the knowledge portion of the Vedas, which are the Upanishads, the revelations of the ancient seers of India.
So this is an ancient tradition. It goes way back. It is an Eastern tradition. Vivekananda is a 19th century monk. What's his role? Tell us about the speech that he made in particular that brought him to the attention of the West and his influence.
Well, actually, it was a series of speeches that he gave. He was so popular that the people who were running the parliament kept him for the last so that they would not lose their crowds. But his first speech, he opened with Sisters and Brothers of America, and just thousands of people rose to their feet.
And I point out, I think this was in Chicago, right?
This was in Chicago in 1893. And they had just the words just stirred them because it immediately addressed them and the oneness of humanity. And then he went on to propound the ancient philosophy, which is the divinity within all, which we call the self, capital S, the Atman, and the unity of existence and the harmony of religions.
And you mentioned earlier that this was a kind of non-proselytizing dissemination of this teaching. How was it possible? He didn't come over here with the purpose of teaching yoga and getting all Americans to understand and practice this, but there was something about his being that was so attractive that made it a part of people's lives and something they wanted to learn more about.
Yes. One person, when she saw him from her window walking on the streets of New York, she said, "Once you saw him, you could never forget him." He didn't come to this country to teach yoga and to spread the message. He came to raise money for India. And because his heart went out to the poor, the illiterate, to the women in India who were in so need of upliftment. But when he came to this country, he saw that we had another kind of poverty in this country. Materially, we were very wealthy. And because of that, we were ripe for the non-dual teachings that we were missing that in our lives, and so the soil was there.
Isn't it interesting that Mother Teresa, when she was asked why she was going to start a mission in Los Angeles, on the face of it, a very wealthy country, she said, in terms of personal relationships, the United States of America is the poorest country in the world.
Yeah.
So what? How widespread? Who began to embrace his teachings, and how did they spread in the United States and in the West?
Oh, interesting. When Vivekananda came, he was such a popular speaker at the Parliament, and he's really considered the pioneer of interfaith dialogue. And one of his beautiful quotations are, "Do I wish that the Christian would become Hindu? God forbid. Do I wish that the Hindu or Buddhist would become Christian? God forbid. But each must assimilate the spirit of the others and yet preserve his individuality and grow according to his own law of growth." So this just opens the door wide open for interfaith, interspiritual dialogue. And I would say that people were drawn for various reasons. Some had intimate contact with him in the parlors that were going on at that time. Nikola Tesla, the great inventor of the electromagnetic field, he met Vivekananda in a parlor, along with Emma Calvey, Sarah Bernhardt, William James. And so this contact with this genius, I mean, spiritual genius, he could talk to people at every level, and William James as well. I mean, all of these people were just very attracted, and some came dragging their feet, like John D. Rockefeller. And Vivekananda influenced him in terms of his philanthropy. It's a wonderful story.
Well, two famous J.D.s, J.D. Rockefeller and J.D. Salinger, both were influenced by.
Absolutely. Now, J.D. Salinger, he was influenced by Vivekananda's master. And in New York, he met Swami Nikhilananda, who was the head of the Ramakrishna Vivekananda Center. And Nikhilananda had translated the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, which is the life and teachings of Ramakrishna, amidst lay and monastic devotees. And when Salinger read it, he wrote to his British publisher and said, "This is the greatest religious book of the century." And then he began coming to the center, and he found that Karma Yoga was the yoga that most appealed to him, because any daily task, any vocation could be turned into yoga. And he found this particularly appealing.
So this is a sublime teaching in the hands of a master, in the mind and mouth of a master. It goes back tens of thousands of years in tradition. And I'm going to ask you to summarize, to give us a sense of what this, particularly you mentioned non-dual thinking, is. If there's a way, can you give us an essence of this philosophy?
Okay, well, maybe the best illustration would be Ramakrishna's life himself.
And may I point out, Ramakrishna was the teacher, was the mentor for
Vivekananda. He's considered a Hindu mystic, a great Hindu mystic, lived from 1836 to 1886, and he practiced the various conflicting sects within Hinduism to their culmination. And that means the non-dual experience of the absolute oneness, complete oneness. And then he went on to practice the non-dual tradition to its culmination, which he achieved in 3 days' time. It was unheard of. And then he went on to practice Islam. He had the vision of Christ, and he honored the Jain and Sikh teachers. I mean, and he, from his own experience, proclaimed so many people, so many paths. They all lead to the same truth.
And in saying that, I think it's important to point out that when you talk about non-dual and all leading to the same path, we're not talking about some ethereal, inhuman, immaterial understanding. It's precisely in encountering the conflicts that we see, the paradoxes, by meeting them head on and moving through them, not by transcending them or running away from them, but precisely meeting conflict and tension, that we come to this understanding.
Through the Karma Yoga, absolutely, because in the philosophy of Vedanta, we understand that as our sense of self changes, so also does our worldview. And that is what is so exciting. As we grow in Vedanta, we see how our attitudes broaden and deepen.
Well, Monique, you are going to bring Vivekananda to us in a very sensual way through a laser show. Tell us about it.
Yes, of course. Let me go to the roots. Swami Vivekananda, he has been a source of inspiration ever since I was a child. His life story and the messages have just steered me to move in the direction where I can find love, peace, harmony, and energy to work. Now, what I like most about him, how he explained Hinduism and Vedanta in a common man's language. His messages are straightforward, very practical, and directly connect to soul and literally wake you up. That's what I was fascinated with.
Now, you said literally, forgive me for interrupting, yes, but you said they literally wake you up. Is that what you said?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. See, like statement like he gave, arise, awake, and stop not till the goal is reached. Very practical. In fact, this is something that I remember every morning. I got duties to do, sometimes feel lazy, and that word, that sentence just wakes me up. And it has literally stirred my soul and use it practically for every job that I do.
So how do you reflect then a story like this in laser?
Absolutely. See, as you know, the way the laser is used in the industry right now, especially in the entertainment field, they're using it for beam shows and waves and so on, which is running above the head and dancing with music. And people are dancing, mostly for concerts and dancing purposes. To me, I felt this magical power of to be able to act at a huge amount of spectators must go beyond these beam shows dancing with music. I felt it can also be a media or the magic pen through which a message can be passed, a theme can be carried, a story can be told through laser art and animation. And I have done animation all my life. And laser gave me the option of using this unique media to do animation, present it in a very, very modern, unique, and 21st century language. I felt together, it not only can be a feast for the eyes with the dancing beams and the waves and so on, but with the story it can connect with the people to illuminate a soul. And Swamiji Laser Show is an attempt towards that goal.
Well, Monique, it sounds like a fascinating show, and I want to thank you so much for sharing it with us. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you so much.
Monique Sorkar is the artist who created Swamiji. It is a unique laser show on Swami Vivekananda. Pravrajika Brahmaprana is a Vedanta nun and an expert on Vivekananda. Thank you so much for being on the program, too.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The State of Things. You can see the show, by the way, March 8th, 7 o'clock, Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts Fletcher Opera Theater in Raleigh. And if you missed that, then please go to our website, stateofthings.org. It'll be posted there, and you will have all the information. Thank you for listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.